small part of that scripture that seems to have come from nowhere and it's just been dropped in. Like, hang on, how does this relate to all that Paul has been saying? So it's like Paul just got into that point where he just felt, woof, something has come to me now. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And he said, and the way he started it is even interesting. And he said, and without controversy. So I'm telling you, you can argue with me on this. That basically, Paul is saying, look, I'm very sure of what I'm saying. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And he said, God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up into glory. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. It's interesting because I've pondered over this scripture for a very long time, right from my early days when I had an understanding of who God was. I've pondered over this particular verse of the scripture. And basically, you will agree with me that this sums up everything about the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the year, we encourage ourselves which is what we do every year. In January this year, we encourage ourselves by looking at Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, and acknowledging God as the Almighty. We talked about, some of us might have forgotten, but I'm just reminding us now. We talked about God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And basically, in encouraging us at the beginning of the year, I was saying that, look, it was at the beginning. We are in the middle. We're journeying through because he's been through that journey before us. And he will be at the end when we get to the end of the journey. And this year, God has shown himself as Almighty in every way. And we give the glory to his name. God has been wonderful to us as a church. And as we go through the last few days of the year, I also want to admonish us with this particular scripture because something is there that we all need to sit down and look at. It was a random thought of Paul, like I said, and it was just great that he started with that particular word and without controversy. And that is basically a man that is saying, I know what I'm talking about. And Daniel, in Daniel 11, verse 33, verse 32b, says, those that know their God shall do exploits. So basically, Paul is showing you here that I know who I serve. I know this Jesus I'm telling you about. He's telling Timothy, a young man, that, look, I'm telling you something that I know very much. Something just came into me, and I want you to know that Jesus is great. In Jesus talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, said, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. That's why he said, when he was speaking in parables and disciples went to him and said, hang on, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you always speaking in parables? Why? And Jesus said, unto you has been given the opportunity to know the mystery of the kingdom, not to the world, but to you. So basically, you that you're seated here today, you've been given the opportunity to know the mystery of who God is. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, he said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. So we are, like Paul, knowing the mystery of godliness. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And there's a particular chapter in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that always intrigued me. Always, always intrigued me. And that is Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. In the Old Testament, it says, the secret things belong to God. But those things which he has revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that they may do all the word of the law. Basically, because they are in the old dispensation, they had no knowledge of the mystery. They only see a glimpse of God. It's interesting because when you look at the Old Testament, what did they see?
they see the glimpse of God. They never really saw God. For them, it was God showing himself in different names and different... When they have different situations, God was showing... The fullness of God was not revealed to them. Even Moses, when he said, "Can I see you, God?" Moses said, "No, you can't. The day you see me, you will die." But Moses saw the back of God. He just saw the passing of God. But you know what? You've seen God. Because God has come in flesh. And you've seen God because Christ in you now. Christ now lives in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what? Why do I know that this is what the situation is? In Hebrew chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "Now we have come to Zion." We have come to Zion. And now, it is not that we are coming, we have come to Zion. And at Zion, we have the mediator of a new covenant, which is Jesus Christ, the mediator of a new covenant. And Hebrews 11:39 says, even mentioned that's the whole, there's a, what do they call it? The Hall of Fame for heroes of faith, where they have the list of names of heroes of faith. And he said, even all these people, Hebrews 11:39-40 said, all these people, having achieved all this, having been mentioned with all these great things that they've done, they're waiting for you and I. Let me see how the Bible, let me just read it the way the Bible puts it. It says 39 and 40 says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. For God has provided some better things for us. Who is us? For you and for me. Better things for us, that they without us, they without you and us, we could not be made perfect. The perfection of Jesus Christ was revealed to you. The mystery of godliness. Paul, in writing this particular scripture, this particular verse of the scripture, was displaying his absolute confidence in what he had received and what he's preaching. The confidence in what he has received. Remember, Paul was not part of the apostles. He was not part of the disciples when they were with Jesus. Paul had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The way you would have had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The way Christ would have come to you when you had the knowledge of him. The way you received him. He had the Damascus experience where he was going on a journey to destroy the followers of Christ. And Christ appeared to him personally. And when Christ appeared to him, Christ revealed himself to him. So he knew Christ by revelation, which you also have known Christ by. And he was talking about it with the confidence that, look, I know what I'm talking about because I have seen this Christ. He has spoken to me. He has spoken to me. He has changed my life around. From Saul, from Paul the killer, he has changed me into that Paul who is now an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Paul, in that same verse, was summing up his confession of faith in the personality of God as revealed in Christ Jesus. He was summing up his confession of faith. He was summing up his confession of faith as revealed in Christ Jesus. So basically, Paul was saying to everyone that cares to listen and to Timothy, he said, "This is the mystery of godliness." Paul is reaffirming this plan of God that was from creation. Reaffirming the plan of God that was from creation. He was saying the God plan. He was showing the people, he was telling Timothy that, do you know God's plan was never to be a God that is far away from people. It was God that wanted to be with his people. It was God that wanted to continue to abide with his people. And that is not far-fetched. When God created the garden the Garden of Eden, he placed man there, but he was always coming down to fellowship with man. God himself did not create man the way he created other things. He had in man his personality, which is his DNA, the breath of God, was in man. And that is what Paul was saying here. Paul was saying, I'm telling you this thing that I know. And as one of the songs we used to sing is, do you know why I believe in Jesus? Do you know why he's so great? After 3 days, he rose from dead. I've never seen a man that rose from dead like Jesus Christ. He says, he's Lord, he's Lord. He has risen from the dead, he's Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul was telling Timothy about this great thing, about, because this summed up everything that God was. And Paul was explaining this to Timothy. The special mystery about God is that he has always wanted man to know that he's so close. God has always wanted that. He wanted you to know that he's so close. So sometimes when you're going through a difficult time, God wants you to know that he's so close. By his breath, you will live. By his voice. But it was a voice that was walking in the garden. It was a voice in the burning bush. It was a water from the rock in the wilderness. It was a pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. It was a third visitor to Abraham when they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He stayed with Abraham. We studied that in the Bible Detective as well, when we're doing the Bible Detective. Two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, but the third person stayed back. He was the third. He was there. He was with Abraham. He was the fourth man in the lake of fire. That is who he is. But all through that revelation, people were still looking for God that is above. They were looking for God that is above. God is in you. God lives with you. God wants to show himself as being with you. He kept on revealing this to the children of Israel and to the world as a whole. But we did not acknowledge it. We were too reluctant to acknowledge it. And John summed it up in John 1, verse 11 and 12. He says, he came to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave the power. Look at that word. He didn't give them the power to become something else, to become the sons of God. He gave them the power to become. So basically, he reconciled them back to God. The mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. Those that believe, even in his name, in the name of the Son of God. Those that believe in it. So Paul was explaining this mystery of godliness as, you know what Jesus said to the disciple? You've seen me, you've seen God. That's what Jesus was saying. Paul was revealing that, look, what you see in Jesus is what you see in God. What I see in you is what I see in God. What I see in you, when I look at you, I'm seeing God in you. I'm seeing you as an image of God. And therefore, number one, I must respect your personality. I must love you the way God loves me. So if I say I love God, I must love you the way God loves me. The mystery of godliness is that God is not God that is aloof to us. It's God that is part of us, that knows us very much. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it's saying there's no other name by which man can be saved than the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 talks about the kingdom upon his shoulder. The kingdom upon his shoulder and talks about this son that will be born unto us, who will bring kingdom unto us. So, in a single verse, Paul was showing us who Christ was. Paul was trying to make us understand that when we see Christ, when we see Jesus Christ, we've seen God. Paul was explaining to us that, look, you don't need to look for God anywhere else. Because God is already come unto you. God has already revealed himself unto you. And as he continued to show himself in the Old Testament, he has now decided that if you're not seeing me in all these in the bread that you live with, in the voice that you hear in the garden, in the burning bush, if you cannot reckon the fact that I'm the water from the rock, I'm the pillar of cloud by day, I'm pillar of fire by night, I'm the visitor that came to see Abraham, I'm the fourth person in the lake of fire, I'm going to now reveal myself in my son, in my personality. I'm going to come to you just the way you are. I'm going to live like you. I'm going to be like you. I'm going to reveal myself to you the way you will understand it. God, and in summing it up, Paul gave us six different factual points to reveal that God was revealed in Christ Jesus. The first point we said was God was manifest in flesh. God was manifest in flesh. Interestingly, God spoke flesh into becoming a human being. God spoke into the dust of the ground and made into a human being. So why does he need to then become a flesh? Because this same flesh failed and fell into sin. But you know what he wanted to do? God wanted us to realize that he can restore that which the devil has destroyed. He came. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, "But thanks be to God, as the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the work of the devil." He was made manifest to destroy the work of the devil. He was made to reign over the work of the devil. And that is what God did. He came to us in flesh so that we might see the power that is in God himself. That he can live in this flesh and he will not commit anything. He came into the world without sin. He did not sin all through the time he was in the world, but he came and conquered sin and the power of death. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. He was tempted like us, but sinned not." He was tempted like us. He was taken up to that, I think it was this week I was sharing with someone, he was taken up to the high mountains and was tempted by the devil. Told him to bow down his head, told him to do a lot of things. And Jesus said, "No, you won't tempt me. I'm the Lord your God. You can't tempt the Lord your God." And Paul had this understanding of this God. And he made it clear that God came from heaven into earth and he did not commit sin. He came, he left his glory in heaven and he came into earth. So the manifestation of God in Christ Jesus is one of the greatest mysteries of the gospel. And the fact that you now are part of God's kingdom through Christ Jesus. There's a song we used to sing that says, "He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name." And you know what? He didn't just come. He now lives in us. He now lives in us. The greatest mystery, the manifestation of God in flesh that became part of us. There's another song that says, "God of heaven living in me, who brought these nations, ransomed souls, brought these sinners within your throne." He brought us out of darkness into the light because he manifested himself in us. God, in his mysterious way, wanted to reconcile us back to himself. He did not look for any other thing. He became like us. God became like you and I. In manifestation in flesh is for us to model the living, the way Christ lived. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. God did not want us to think is an extraterrestrial type of life that we cannot compete with. Oh, I can never be like God. No. You are God. You've been made in the image of God. God wants you to be like him. And that is why he's manifested himself like you, so that you will know that he is. Everything God is you. This manifestation was for God, who is a spirit being and cannot die, to take on flesh so that he can die for our sins. That is the plan. He manifested himself so that he can die for our sins. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, Hebrews 2, verse 9 and 14, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, verse 3, and John 3, 5. If you note that down and read that at home when you get home, that is a manifestation of God. Then Paul talked about he was justified in the Spirit. He was justified in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 11 says, if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will revitalize, he will re-energize, he will re-energize your mortal body. Romans 8, 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by Spirit that dwells in you. What does that mean? Justified by the Spirit. The Spirit testifies in us that Jesus is the Son of God. That is how we know that Jesus is the Son of God. Because head knowledge will not give you the understanding of who Jesus is. But when the Spirit comes upon you, let me give you an example. When you first came in contact with Jesus Christ, how do you know? Someone is standing in front of you and preaching, receive Jesus Christ today and believe in his word and you will be saved, and they preach salvation story to you, and you had that salvation, that sinner's prayer, and you had everything. But that is not, it doesn't end there, does it? There was some growth in you that started happening. There's something that started growing in you. As the word came in, it made some things in you. Remember that you are God being, because you have God's DNA in you. And the words are growing in you. And an example of this is when Jesus rose from the dead, he met his disciples, and the Bible says he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But they received the Holy Ghost at that time, but they didn't have the power that follows until Pentecost. When Pentecost came, the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit came upon them like fire, like tongues of fire came upon them and started dwelling with them. And with that boldness, with that receipt of the Holy Spirit, they were able to preach the gospel. The Bible says that 3,000 were converted on one day of preaching. They were able to preach the gospel. That is the Spirit of God. And that is how the Spirit justified Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It is the Spirit that testifies in us that Jesus is the Son of God. Through this, God is showing us the love and power towards us, that if we are in him, the Spirit will also revive us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will revive us. There's an Hillsong song song that I love so much, and I don't know how to sing, but I just try my best and do everything. He said, death could not hold him. The veil tore before him. He silenced the boast of sins and grave. And he says, what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, as a person, would not have been completely understood by us if not for the power of the Holy Spirit. And why did I say that? I say that because Jesus himself said to us, he said, when the Holy Spirit shall come, he will teach you everything about me. What Paul knew at that time when he was saying this is because he had a revelation of God through the Spirit. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ through the Spirit. He had a voice calling him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? Immediately, he knew that he was beyond him. He was not just, the person speaking to him was beyond him. And he said, who are you, Lord? He acknowledged him. And that is the way it is with your experience. The Spirit of God in you will reveal Jesus to you. Yes, So, brothers and sisters, what am I saying? The mystery of godliness will only be made known to you and I if we allow the Spirit to take control of our heart. We need the Spirit of God to speak into our heart and our mind. It's getting to Christmas, and I want you to know that in this period, one of the topic of our Christmas carol is come and see what the Lord has done. But what do you want to show if the Spirit cannot, if you don't have the understanding of what you're showing? And Jesus said, for you to have this understanding, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. The Spirit would speak into you about Jesus Christ. Yes, you confess with your mouth, you believe with your heart. But your heart can only be aligned with that faith by allowing the Holy Spirit to reign in your heart. Brothers, it is important that we seek and have the Holy Spirit. It is very, very important. This, as Christians, without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. The mystery of godliness cannot be revealed to you without the Holy Spirit. You will just be one of those people that come to church and just go away without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit of God to reveal God to you. Because that is the same Spirit that Jesus had that rose him from the dead. That's the same Spirit that can renew your energy. That's the Spirit that can turn you into the plan of God and purpose of God. He was seen by the angels. That's the third one. He was seen by the angels. I love that part of that scripture because from the beginning of creation, the personality of God was known to angels. The Bible says that they continually praise him. Revelation 5, verse 11 to 12. They continue to walk with him. Genesis 19, verse 1. When they were the two other people that was with the third person that went to see Abraham. But in the manifestation of his glory, the Bible says, the angels cannot behold his glory. Does that make sense? They continually praise him. They continually walk with him. But in the manifestation of his glory, the angels cannot behold his glory. And how do I know that? Isaiah chapter 6 verse 2 says, the angels, when they were standing in front of God, they had two wings covering their faces. They are covering their faces. They can't behold his glory. But you know what? God revealed that glory to you and I through Christ Jesus. And we say it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God revealed that glory to you and I through Christ Jesus. The glory of God is what God has revealed to you. And that glory is what you carry, which you're showing to the world. So because you're God's glory carrier, God revealed, that's the mystery, the greatest mystery. Angels, even as close as they are, there, they behold him face to face. They're there continuously, but they are not privy to the glory of God that you are privy to. The glory that was revealed through his son. Although the herald is coming, the minister to him, they were present at everything, but they did not enjoy the grace that God has given you. The grace of redemption. The grace that God has brought to you. They couldn't enjoy it. And this is what has made a difference of you. Number four is that it was preached among the nations. What is the plan of God? I say this all the time, and I repeat it all the time, that the plan of God is for you to reach out to the world. He says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations, as many as making disciples of men. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The world is what God, the plan of God is to save the world, not to just save few. Is to save the world. The plan of God is for the whole world to come to the knowledge of God. That is the plan of God. And that is why Jesus came. The plan of God is for you and I, as we are saved, to rise up for the salvation of others. He wants us to go out there. He saved us, but he wants us to go out there and save others. And that plan will surely come to pass. Because Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 says, he has been given a name that is above every other name, that his name, every knee must bow. It is not shall, they must bow. Every knee must bow. So the time is coming when the nations of the world will come to realize the power that is in God through Christ Jesus. The mystery of God as revealed in Christ Jesus is that Jesus himself is propelled into the world for the world to see how God is. The time is coming when the whole world will acknowledge this. Brothers, sisters, one thing about this time that is coming is that you and I have been given the responsibility to make this time come quicker. You and I have been given that responsibility. And what is our responsibility? He says, go into the world, preach the gospel, tell everyone in the world that there's salvation. Go into the world, tell the world that God is here, God is great, God is good, and his mercies endure forever. Go into the world and tell the world. Because it is when they hear, and it takes us to that, the next one, which is the fifth one, the believe the world, and the next one is believed in the world. Because when they hear, that's when they can believe. The essence of preaching Jesus is to bring the world to the knowledge of God. That's the whole essence. Bring the world to the knowledge of God, the plan of God, and the reason why God had this plan. Jesus said to his disciples, you've seen me. You've seen Jesus. You've seen God. That's why he said to Philip when he asked him, show us the Father. And he was sufficient. But when you see me, you've seen the Father. And the plan has already been there, drawn out all along. And Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But then he says, in Romans chapter 10, that same 10 verse 14 to 15, how can they believe except they hear? How can they believe except they hear? Paul preached this gospel in one breath, and he listed all this out. So your job and my job is to tell the world that God is good, amen, that God is great, that God has a plan and purpose for us, so that the world can believe in this God that you know, that the world can come to the knowledge of him. God has strategically placed us in different positions and situations so that we can share his love and grace. Paul was in prison, and with that, he was able to preach the gospel in prison. Philip was taken to meet the eunuch who was reading the scripture without knowledge and was able to tell him about Jesus Christ, the scripture he was reading. Peter was in prison and was able to preach the gospel. Even before the Sanhedrin, this is another interesting part of it. Peter, who was not bold enough to speak before the Sanhedrin, Peter was able to tell them, hang on a minute. Who do you want me to be? If you want me to believe, do you want me to deny Jesus Christ and obey you? I would rather obey Jesus Christ than listen to you guys, because there is a stone that you have rejected that has become the pillar, that become the cornerstone. He was able to tell them boldly about Jesus Christ. God put you in situation so that you can preach. Maybe God has placed you in a role in life, in a workplace. God has taken you into an hospital. One thing about Gordon that I can testify about, and all of us that went to see him in hospital can testify about that, everybody around his bedside knows that he was a Christian. Amen. Everybody, yes, that came around his bedside knows that he was a Christian. And he keep telling them, oh, these are my brothers from all over the world, and they're coming to visit me. He was sharing the love of God. How do you share the love of God? What do you tell people? I know sometimes it's difficult at workplace to tell people about Jesus Christ, but how do you tell them? Because if you don't preach it, they won't hear it. And if they don't hear it, they won't believe it. Maybe it's just in the bus. Maybe you're sitting down in a bus or in a bus station, and they're seeing the smile on your face, and people will be looking at you like, what makes this one different?
Yes, that's right.
What makes this one different? And then you're able to tell them, this is what makes me different. That is what you're meant to be doing, telling the world about this Jesus Christ. Because it is when they hear it that they will believe it. And it's believed in the world. And thank God today, it is not just Jesus of Nazareth. It's Jesus of the whole world. We're not just preaching Jesus of Nazareth. We're preaching Jesus that came to save the whole world.
Amen.
And so interestingly is the fact that as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the Savior of the world. We've gone beyond that period when it was just in the little town of Bethlehem. No. We are now having a Savior of the world. Right here, in England, in Africa, in Nigeria, in Tanzania, in everywhere in the world, the gospel is going out and everyone is hearing Jesus Christ is Lord. I was sharing with someone the other day and they were like, in Russia, the word of God is growing bigger and bigger. In China, things are happening. People are beginning to hear the word of God. The world needs to hear of this Savior. And you and I that have been saved are the one that needs to tell the world about it. We need to tell people that have never heard of that name before that there's a name by which man can be saved. And that is the only name that has been given unto man. And the last one he talked about was that it was received up in glory. His ascension was great. And each time I read about the ascension and how people were looking up and like, and the angel said, this same Jesus that you see go up is coming back the same way. I just love that story. I love it because I know in my heart, I know I'm waiting. I have a hope and a future. I'm waiting for my Savior to come back. I'm waiting for the King of Kings to come back. And I'm waiting for my groom to come back because I'm preparing myself for the great King. And when he shall return, he will return order. He will return peace. But it's not just going into heaven that is done. The Bible says, he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for me. I know that I have an advocate up in heaven. I'm not alone. God himself is advocating for me. Romans 8, verse 34. Acts 7, verse 55 to 56. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Colossians 3, verse 1. Hebrews 1, 3. Hebrews 8, 1. 1 Peter 3, 22. Hebrews 12, 2. And all this is talking about the fact that he's seated. So the fact is he's seated in heaven. So when you're praying, this is another thing. When you're praying, you're not just praying into thin air. You're praying to the Savior who is there interceding for you. The Bible says that we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit, through the groaning of the heart, intercede for us. When we get to that point where we don't know what to say again, the Spirit of God takes over and starts praying for us. Because God is in you and is in heaven. That's another mystery, isn't it? God is in you, but he's in heaven. God resides in you. But remember that God has always resided in you. From the beginning, his breath is in you. Christ came and restored that, and he has settled in you. He's a boy. He said, when you open the door for me to come in, I will come in and live with you. Not just me, myself and the Father and the Spirit will come and abide with you. God is right with you. So long as you've accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, so long as you confess him as the King of your life, so long as you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will continue to abide with you. God is with us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. I'm going to read that to end this morning. Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, and this is what it says. For it pleased the Father that it is in him we should all have fullness dwell, and have made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they are things on earth or things in heaven. God, through his own Son, has reconciled us unto himself. That is the mystery of godliness. God reconciled us unto himself. God became sin for you and for me. That is a mystery of godliness. God has looked at you and looked at me and said, you know what? I don't need any other sacrifice. I will be the sacrifice for you. I will take the pain and I will bring you to myself. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. The mystery of godliness. God manifests in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed in the world, received up in glory. Brothers and sisters, that is the gospel. And that is what God wants you to preach. As you go into Christmas, as you prepare yourself for this Christmas season, that is the gospel that God wants you to preach. And as our topic for this Christmas is, come and see what the Lord has done. You want to tell the world that I know that God that is manifested in flesh. He came into the world because of me. I know that God that is taken up into, I know that God that is justified by the Spirit, because the Spirit testified with my spirit that I am the Son of that God. I know that God that is seen by angels, but then is also revealed his glory in me and to me. I know that God that the world is preaching today. The world is celebrating him, but they might not even know who they're celebrating, but I know that God. Because I can preach that God. That God has put me in his plan and purpose. And I know that God that the world needs to believe in is the Prince of Peace. The world needs that peace. Is the one that has understanding of everything. The world needs a man with that knowledge. If not even the world today, this country needs a man with the knowledge to know how to guide and lead. We need Jesus Christ. He was received up in glory. We know that God. And this morning, I leave you with that message. And I say, go, preach the gospel. Let the world know the God that you have. Let the world know the power that is in that God. Let the world know the mystery of godliness that has been revealed to you. And I bless you this morning, and I say, go in peace, and let the peace of God continue to be with you. Amen.